Igranes, their condition is a hell. Quetzal, 138. That is correct, but unfortunately, it will still take many years before the earthly scientists recognize the decisive important things through their research efforts and then find the necessary means and ways to be able, then, to remove the migraine evil at last. Billy, and of course, those who are befallen to migraines, then, must also contribute their part to this, through their mental work and through the feelings arising from this, I mean in terms of healing, because if I understood correctly, then this cooperation is, indeed, necessary. Quetzal, 139. This cooperation is, in fact, necessary because a lot depends on the thoughts and feelings and, thus, on the psychological state, at least still for now, since still no medicines are found or still no genetic engineering is created, by which all factors of migraine production could be eliminated permanently. 140. Unfortunately, the way and the necessary remedies still haven't been found in the earthly medioglyphs didn't just serve for astrology. But then, unfortunately, no further explanation was given to this because I didn't continue to ask about it. I would like to do that now with this. What, now, is the actual purpose of these giant pictures? Quetzal, 141. The Nazca geoglyphs, as you call them, at the time of the Nazca culture, formed a large ritual site in their entirety. Therefore, one can speak of a ritual garden, of an astrology ritual garden, or of a ritual area or other a ritual landscape. 142. The rituals carried out that corresponded to faith-related, cultic actions and, thus, religious actions. 143. The types of rituals served several purposes, but fertility rituals were the most common forms that were carried out at these cult sites or ritual sites. 144. However, just like the Stonehenge structures that is the megaliths, located to the north of Salisbury, Wiltshire in southern England, the Nazca layouts also served as general meeting places as well as judgment sites and sites of execution. Billy, so all of the various allegations are rubbish, such as the ones that the geoglyphs would mark or indicate underground rivers or that these are prehistoric airfields of or for extraterrestrials, as this, along with other things, is fantasized by Eric von Daniken. These geoglyphs in the desert plains of southern Peru show enormous geometric figures, animals, plants, and humans, which are only recognizable in their entire forms from a certain height. For this reason, one might get the idea that the pictures could have somehow been made by specific instructions from a certain height. Quetzal, 145. That is correct. 146. The actual meaning of the Nazca geoglyphs is based in the explanations that I gave you. 147. All other explanation attempts by any ignorant ones, profiteers, or people given to fantasies or imaginations correspond to wild fantasies, confused assertions, or deliberate deceptions. 148. What you say in regards to the fact that the geoglyphs are only recognizable in their full forms from a certain height, as this is the case with respect to other similar pictures in other parts of the world, I must say that this is actually so. 149. However, the production of the pictures isn't actually based on the fact that from a certain height, instructions would have been given for it. 150. In truth, all measurements, etc. were made in an extremely accurate manner on the ground alone, even though this may seem unbelievable to today's Earth people because they can't make any such images themselves. 151. Unfortunately, the people on the Earth always tend to search for impossible explanations for things that they don't know and don't understand. 152. And wherever or for whatever they find no explanations, then it must be aliens, ghosts, or demons, and even when that is no longer possible, then it's simply taken to be a miracle, even though there are no miracles within the entire creative realm and, thus, also in the entire universe and in all dimensions. 153. In fact, Everything that is seen can be explained, it's just that the necessary insights and knowledge are also necessary for this, and precisely in these, the Earth people are still lacking in very many respects. 154. Their cognition and understanding as well as their knowledge and their wisdom still aren't so comprehensive that they could understand and explain all things and concerns, etc., which is why, in their ignorance, they call everything that is still unexplainable to them miracles or search for solutions and explanations that fall into the realms of fantasy and error. 155. Although the Earth person only learns slowly, in time, he will find the solutions to the things that are still unknown and mysterious to him. Billy, you speak a true word, but in this respect, only few people want to let themselves be taught because the people are stubborn and don't want to let go of their old, inoculated pattern and, thus, also not their erroneous thinking but rather continue to live by faith in the old, traditional muddling and in religious acceptances, letting themselves be deceived by religions and sects and letting themselves go astray. Quetzal, 156. With that, you unfortunately express a truth that is extremely regrettable. Billy, I know that, which is why I also said it. But now, I would like to ask you, how important, actually, is light for humans as well as for animals? Concerning plants, it is well known that these don't grow and can't exist without light, with certain exceptions, like when these grow in the dark. But with that, the question becomes loud and clear. Why can these do without light? Can you give me a satisfactory answer to this? This question doesn't just interest me but also others, which means that I was asked about it. Also a student is interested in this, as a result of her biology lessons. Quetzal, 157. Of course, I can give you information about that. 158. Plants that grow without light underground, the ones of which you speak, always grow towards the light. 159. And light is also vibrationally present in the dark, even though the person, with all his senses or by technical apparatuses, can't ascertain this, such as by light sensing devices. 160. The vibrations of light don't simply end at the surface of an object, on the rock stratum and rocks as well as on the Earth's surface or at a dark cloud in space, etc. Rather, these still penetrate very deeply into matter. 161. This means that also in the subsoil of the earth, certain plants can prosper because they grow toward the light vibrations that are invisible to humans and that penetrate through the soil and which are sufficient for the prosperity of the plants to be assured. 162. This is a fact that will still remain a secret to the earthly scientists of biology for a long time, therefore, they still must first investigate and fathom everything. 163. Without these light vibrations that penetrate very deeply into the earth, the underground plants, as we call them, couldn't prosper and couldn't exist. 164. However, where the light vibrations are no longer able to penetrate, also no plants can grow anymore. 165. It is also important to note that the deeply penetrating light vibrations only exhibit partial rays of actual light and, therefore, a different form than the actual light vibrations. 166. Moreover, such forms of light are already known to the earthly scientists. It's just that these don't concern the ones that penetrate into certain depths of matter. 167. And from the same light vibrations, from which the underground plants or plants of the dark draw their vitality, also the underground animals or animals of the dark benefit, including the fish of the dark and deep sea animals of every genus and species. 168. Also, animals and humans need a great amount of light, including the nighttime animals or the nocturnal animals. 169. Also the so-called night owls, that is nocturnal people, need light, and indeed, without exception, even if life behavioral patterns and all physical and organic factors adapt themselves and new day and night behavioral patterns come about, as this applies, for example, to the Inuit, that is the Eskimos. 170. These have a completely different life rhythm than all those people who are arranged into the day and night rhythm throughout the whole year, which isn't the case with the Inuit, as you know, because in the area of the high north with the Eskimos, different day and night conditions prevail than what are given in the rest of the world. 171. If the person changes, apart from the accustomed change with the Inuit, his daily rhythm and, with this, also his life rhythm, such as through irregular working hours, which you call shift work, then health problems and even serious health damages can appear, which can result, on the one hand, through the irregularity of the lifestyle and, on the other hand, through the changed lighting conditions and, thus, through unsuitable, artificial light. 172. Stomach and intestinal troubles as well as serious stomach and intestinal diseases can be the result, as well as bad depressions and aggressiveness and also dizziness, nausea, blurred vision, and a general functional impairment of the immune system. 173. If a person, and this is also true for animals, is lacking the absolutely essential light, then very negative disturbances and changes also occur in the hormonal balance, by what means, in turn, the immune system is strongly impaired in its strength and function. 174. Lack of light also leads very quickly to thought interferences, emotional disturbances, and concentration problems, by what means, in a short time, also disturbances of the psyche appear, which in turn cause psychosomatic effects in the body and organs. 175. At the same time, this concerns suffering with pain symptoms, etc. that can't be diagnosed by the earthly doctors because often, they are not yet advanced far enough in the area of medicine. Billy, thanks for your detailed explanations. Do you actually still have enough time to answer even more question for me, for I still have a few things in stock? If your time should be tight for you, then everything can, indeed, be moved to our next conversation. Quetzal, 176. At the moment, there aren't any urgent duties that I would have to settle quickly. 177. Thus, I still have a while to satisfy your questions with explanatory answers. 178. So let's hear what questions you still have. 179. But remember that even I am not all-knowing, and thus, I can only give you information with respect to my general knowledge and my learned activities and scientific fields. Billy, you speak so sententiously, it could be directly from me, if I tried to express myself nobly. Quetzal, 180. I also learn a lot from you, and especially from your written works, which you've already composed in excellent German since your early youth and childhood, which itself makes a great impression with our linguists. Billy, and still this. You make me embarrassed. Quetzal, 181. That doesn't lie in my sense. Billy, concerning Mars, I have another question. Even though the entire planet is practically a wild, dry landscape, there is, nevertheless, a rather thick and large layer of ice on the South Pole, which could be compared to the layers of ice of our Arctic and Antarctic. Of course, the conditions aren't right for this. Nevertheless, this South Pole layer of ice is present, as I could see during the flight around Mars when, on the one hand, Samjace first took me there in her beamship, as we flew to the great spacer of her father to, and also after that, as to a circled around Mars again on the return flight to Earth, in order to show me even other things, as this was also the case with all other sol planets and several of their moons, which I wanted to see. Then, the journey still took us to the nearer and further surroundings of the Sun, where I saw several other remarkable things, as well as on the North Pole of the Earth, which are still unknown to our earthly scientists of astronomy and which are likely to give them some surprise and attract attention even with the earthly population, when one or another is discovered. For example, among other things, I'm referring to the fact that far behind the Sun, there orbits even another planet, but this remains hidden from the Earth, always located behind the star, for it has a solar orbit with such a speed that it can never become visible from the Earth, and moreover, it already drifts out of the Sol system and, thus, slowly removes itself from the system. Moreover, Tua showed me that there is also a Sun ring system, as this is also the case for several of the planets in a different form. At the same time, I also saw that in this ring system, as it was called by Tua, a certain number of satellites also romped around, but everything wasn't comparable to Saturn's ring system, whose actual moons didn't circulate in the ring system itself, as this is the case for the satellites of the Sun's ring system. Now the question, am I now allowed to talk about this? Contrary to what Tua told me in 1975, that I must maintain silence over these things? I was also allowed to release information about other things, at least for the group members. But how is it now today? Since then, 12 years have lapsed in the country, during which time a lot has changed, and my contacts have also become well known around the world. Therefore, probably no one would be surprised anymore if I would now release some information relating to the aforementioned. Even if I am designated as a spinner again, it won't cause harm anymore. I think that I no longer get so upset or angry, and I certainly also know how to prevent this. I've already been branded as a spinner and fantasist, and my enemies can't even do more than practice stupid talk and dumb criticism and slander me, etc., who still won't be able to remain silent even now, for certain people think nothing of rational thinking or of propriety and tolerance. Some of the very friendly fellows are simply inconvincible because they are megalomaniacal and arrogant. Quetzal, 182. What you say is correct. 183. However, a danger will continue to exist, namely that those certain elements will seek and continue to seek after your life if you talk about the aforementioned facts officially, which these people won't like. 184. Thus, you must exercise extreme caution in every respect. Billy, that will be the least of my concerns. I can take care of myself quite well, and if it's necessary, I can also defend myself. I'm actually not as defenseless as some people think I am. In so many respects, I have my defense capabilities, as you should actually know. Quetzal, 185. That is well known to me, but maybe you're too carefree. 186. But if you promise that you will exercise sufficient caution and attention in reference to the protection of your life, then I may certainly give you permission to release some more information, at least within the framework that you've mentioned. 187. And what I still want to say, 188. One could also say to your comment about the ring system of the Sun that it is a veil ring, or more precisely, a veil ring system, which consists of fine and very fine particles and also small and large chunks of various sizes, or even satellites, as you call them. Billy, thanks. There is still so much that could be told of my great journey, but I think that everything would ultimately become too much. Quetzal, 189. You certainly aren't wrong about that because everything really would be too much if you wanted to tell or write down all of your observations and experiences of your 5-day-long journey. Billy, that's exactly what I mean. Quetzal, 190. Then we are, indeed, of the same opinion. Billy, so I said. Quetzal, 191. So, what does your next question relate to? 192. As well as I know you, you are not yet at the end of all that you want to know. Billy, what seasons exist on Nera? Quetzal, 193. The same as the ones on your home planet, the Earth? Billy, so spring, summer, autumn, and winter? Quetzal, 194. That is correct. Billy, and the duration of the individual seasons, these also approximately coincide with ours? Quetzal, 195. That, too, is correct. 196. Nevertheless, Samjace, as well as Tu and I already explained to you before that our home world is very Earth-like and, thus, comparable with the Earth as far as possible. Billy, I know, I just wanted to reassure myself again because someone asked me about it. Quetzal, 197. Oh, I understand. 198. Actually, I should have remembered, since you often do this because you don't want to transmit any false information. 199. That is, indeed, well known to me. Billy, thanks for your understanding. Quetzal, 200. The thanks are mine, for I am honored that you ask me, by what means you don't transmit infections of various types will become more and more problematic, and in the end, no effective medicines will be available anymore. 208. This will happen, on the one hand, through the irresponsibility of many doctors and, on the other hand, through the fault of those who, due to their greed for profit, allow foods of all kinds to be filled with antibiotics, as this has already been the case for quite some time in all industrialized countries, in which animals are bred for slaughter and foods of all kinds are produced in order to be placed on the consumer market and sold to the consumers. 209. These, then, are the ones who become impaired in their immune systems by the antibiotic impregnated food and who become infected with bacterial strains, against which there are no longer possibilities for defense. 210. In particular, multi-resistant germs or bacteria will emerge more and more in hospitals, against which there will be almost no possibilities for defense anymore or else none at all. 211. Particularly in this regard, the bacterium Staphylococcus aureus will excel in an extremely dangerous form as an especially multi-resistant hospital germ, which is designated by the short name of MRSA. 212. This extremely dangerous germ mainly settles itself in the nasal mucous membrane, as well as on the bare skin, and it is extremely contagious and, thus, very easily transferable and capturable. 213. The bacterium first becomes really dangerous, however, when it arrives into the body in some way, such as via external or internal wounds, but there are still other possibilities, such as through infusions, etc., but this will still remain hidden to the physicians for a long time. 214. As I said, too many antibiotics are swallowed by the earth people, by what means various bacterial strains become more and more resistant against all types of antibiotics. 215. With this, a multi-resistance will appear over time, which will result, then, only as a natural effect of the cause of antibiotic abuse. 216. As I said, more and more antibiotics will be irresponsibly given to the patients by the doctors, and on the other hand, the people of the earth will eat more and more antibiotic contaminated meats of all kinds, and to be sure, meats of mammals of all kinds and also of fishes and fowls. 217. This will cause bacterial strains of every kind to become more and more resistant in humans, as I already explained. Consequently, in the end, any medically prescribed antibiotics will no longer be able to cause any healing or any relief from suffering. 218. Yet through this, more and more deaths will appear, just due to the failure of medicines or due to a lack of suitable and effective medicines. 219. From these facts, there will already be talk very soon of an end of the antibiotic age among the earth people. 220. More and more, every kind of antibiotic has already been criminally and feloniously administered to animals, fish, and fowls in large quantities during the making of meat, or rather the production of meat, on the one hand, in order to make these immune to diseases and, on the other hand, to achieve a fast growth and also a rapid weight gain. 221. But in the future, this will cause all sorts of evils for the earth people, of which the physicians and doctors still have no idea up to now, which will, therefore, also have very unfavorable and extremely dangerous consequences in the future, because the wrong and excessive use of antibiotics in human medicine and veterinary medicine, as well as in the feeding of animals, fish, and fowls, etc., is in no way harmless. 222. The antibiotic residues in the foods of all kinds, about which the earth person usually knows nothing, trigger a growing spread of resistance from the various strains of bacteria, which can then no longer be fought or else only with difficulty. Consequently, everything in the relevant form leads to hopeless medical treatments and to a farce that will demand more and more deaths. 223. Through this, a catastrophe becomes predetermined and inevitable, if reason doesn't triumph and the misuse of antibiotics isn't strictly forbidden and controlled, and if new medicines aren't found in the foreseeable time that can break through the resistance of the dangerous germs that cause extremely dangerous infections, such as wound infections and blood poisoning, but also many other illnesses, such as pneumonia and other ills, whereby the scientists and physicians will often stand before riddles when they have to make diagnoses and have to find out methods of treatment. 224. And once again, it would be said that in the course of time, antibiotic residues produce extremely dangerous effects in the food, and that the health of the consumers is risked and harmed in an extremely severe form through the criminal and felonious injections of antibiotics into the food by profit-greedy elements of all kinds. 225. And actually, injections of antibiotics not only arrive into mammals and fishes as well as into fowls, but also into birds and plants as well as into vegetables and fruits. 226. In fact, it is also true that, more and more, antibiotics also arrive into a variety of creatures of all kinds that are in the ground and in the insect world. 227. But that still isn't enough, because in addition to the antibiotics, the people of the earth produce various poisons of all kinds, as well as detergents, soaps, shampoos, herbicides, insecticides, and fertilizers, along with radioactive radiations and agents of all kinds that cause tremendous damages and that destroy the health of humans and animals, as well as of fish, plants, insects and worms. But this is also true in regards to birds. Billy, if I may address you again on what you once said in reference to tomatoes, these contain active substances which prevent certain types of cancer? Quetzal, 228. That is correct, 229. Tomatoes actually contain certain active substances that can prevent certain types of cancer to a large percentage, and indeed, particularly prostate cancer. 230. However, it is important that always enough tomatoes or tomato products are used for food, and especially in a cooked state, because through the cooking process, the active substances are strengthened. 231. But in a positive, preventive form, other types of cancer are also able to be influenced by the tomato's active substances, as this is also the case with other types of vegetables as well as with fruits and all sorts of herbs and other plants. 232. But about this, in accordance with our directives, I may not give any explanations in an official form, for this would offend against the self-development in terms of the research and insight collection of the Earth people. Billy, always these directives. But I understand that our earthly humanity must strive itself in relation to its own development and, thus, also with respect to all insights and achievements, and must acquire its own progress. It's like in school, where no one of a very low class can simply be moved up to a much higher one and be of the acceptance that he could understand the new and higher one if he has not yet learned all the material between the lower and higher class or grade. A progress must always take place in a consistent and systematic manner, such that everything to be learned is actually learned and nothing is omitted from it, as this is also the case, for another example, with the learning of an occupation. If the learning and the progress as well as the development do not occur in this manner, then there arise enormous knowledge gaps as well as a lack of practical knowledge, skill, and experience. But this means that the high-end knowledge, etc. can't be understood and can't be processed, which leads to the fact that the higher knowledge or higher achievements are incorrectly applied, which usually leads to dangerous grievances and even to a catastrophe. The following serves as an example: if a primitive person living in the wild comes into a technological civilization and gets a submachine gun pressed into his hand, he will neither be able to use this consciously nor responsibly, rather, he will simply wildly blast around with it, if he doesn't already throw the gun away from himself in fright, or succumb to insanity, when the shooting iron goes bang.